Now, I usually say if we've got any visitors, but I know this morning we've got visitors here. We're thrilled to have you. And we would just be tickled if you would look in a pouch in the chair in front of you. There should be an envelope there with a card, a pen. If you were to fill that out and put that in the basket to the right of the door on your way out this morning, let us know a little bit about yourselves. Maybe we get in touch with each other. We could tell you how thrilled we are to have you here and make sure you know you're welcome to come back. So please do that for us. Thank you. Wesley.
Good morning, Lake Country. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? Join me in your bulletins, if you would, real quick. We're going to jump to the middle second page for announcements. Annual business meeting will be January 14th. There will be an election for the office of deacon. All eligible voting members are encouraged to attend. And that will happen after services. So please be here for that. Prayer meeting every Sunday at 9 a.m. Everyone is welcome to join us in prayer. We do that back here in this back room if you want to be here for that 9 a.m. There has been a pretty good group of people back there, and we don't mind having a few more. Women's Bible study will resume January 9th. Terry Buckler leading the study of 2 Samuel. They start around 6:30 and wrap up sometime around 9 p.m. maybe. Okay, so officially 8, but it still may be 9. Wednesday night service, prayer and Bible study at 6 p.m. Of course, everyone is welcome right here in the sanctuary. Men's prayer group is Friday. That's this coming Friday at 8 a.m. That's in the Red Dome in Quitman. If y'all would like to be a part of that, gentlemen, that's a great time of prayer and fellowship. At 8 a.m., we usually do like breakfast, and we'll mingle a little bit, and then we have a little ante room that they usually allow us to sit into, so we have some quiet where we can pray for not only the needs of the church, the community, politics, anything that's on your heart. It's a great time for us men to fellowship together in the Lord. LCBC Christmas Undecorating, Saturday, January 13th. 9:30 a.m. Come and help undecorate our church home and store the decorations for next year. Anybody that wants to be involved in that, that's a great time of fellowship as well. I know that I have a lot of fun with the church cleanup days because I get to work one-on-one with some of you that we only get to see each other for a short period before or after services. This is a great time as well. It won't happen in conjunction with a cleanup day. This will just be decorations. But I look forward to scheduling one of those in the near future as well. Get to know some of you new folks a little bit better. Join me in prayer, if you would, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for this opportunity to be here in your house. We thank you for the people who come to us in your word, studying the word, stewarding your word, and ready to present it to us, that we would learn from you, learn from their knowledge that you have given them. And we thank you for their stewardship. We ask that you would continue to strengthen them and encourage them in their stewardship of your word. That it would always be pleasing to you what we learn, what they teach, and how we use that knowledge in our daily lives. Ask your blessing over this time and worship and study. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, join me if you would in your Bibles, we're going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 21. While you're turning there, Terry Posey handed me a digital pocket watch that was found out in the wristwatch. This is yours. Okay. Lucky recipient right here. Okay. That one's out of the way. I forgot to make that announcement earlier. So, 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 21. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray ye, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Well, good morning, church. Trust everyone has had a rest from all of the eating that we normally get to do. I know I ate too much. I think that's about right. It's good to look out and see the visitors we have this morning. It's good to look out and see those that we can count on being here. We have some that are out traveling, seeing family on this holiday season, and we wish them the best, safe travels, and I'm getting a lot of... Am I right, Terrell? All right. Anyway, it's good to see you this morning, and you visitors, fill out those visitor slips. I always want to know where I can go for a free meal, so fill those out. I know we'd love to have an opportunity to let you know how much we appreciate you being here with us this morning. Love the song, the special. Very good. I enjoyed that very much. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer this morning. Father, we come to you this morning as needy people. Father, we need you in our lives in a very special way. Day by day, week by week, year by year. And Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit indwells each one of us who know you as our personal Savior, gives us the leadership, the direction, the conviction, the guidance, Father, that we as your children need. And so, Father, we ask that you would guide us as we look into your word this morning. And Father, that we might take and consider the things around us, the opportunities we have, the potential. Father, the message that we have been given as your children, we pray, Father, that we might look at ourselves, look at our lives, look at our motives. And Father, we pray that we might leave here, Father, in a closer walk with you. Father, we'll give you the honor and praise. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We looked at this morning in the second book of Corinthians. Paul wrote to this church that had needs. And he put into these verses that we read enough information, enough potential, enough responsibilities for a lifetime as we look at these and look at them in depth. Our responsibilities as Christians, we all have those. If we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have eternal life, but we also have a ministry. We also have a responsibility, and God will provide the opportunity as we are faithful in following His instruction from His Word. What is it that we look for in a new year? Here we are. Where to from here? The question that I ask myself as I begin to think about this morning's message. We're here in a new year, just beginning tomorrow. And 52 weeks God has laid out ahead of us. If He sees fit, we shall live and we shall work. Those of us who are retired will grin when we get to sleep late in the mornings while y'all go off to work, those who are younger, who still work. But we have these times to spend. As believers, we have a responsibility to our families, to our loved ones. We have a responsibility to our employers if we're still working. We have a responsibility to our spouses. We have responsibilities. And in God's Word, here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have responsibilities as a believer. Where to from here? What are your plans, if you would? What are your thoughts concerning these next 52 weeks? If you're in school still, or if you're in college, your responsibilities there, I'm sure you have thought about. But do we think about our responsibilities in our walk with the Lord? We have responsibilities. We have responsibilities to this local church that God has called us to. We have responsibilities, different places. We also have not only responsibilities, but we have opportunities. When we take advantage of those opportunities, we dispel, or if you would, we use those responsibilities to bring our life more in a parallel walk with the Lord. Our responsibilities. I'm convinced that none of us, not myself, not you, take advantage of all the opportunities that God gives us to disperse our responsibilities. If people who know Christ as Savior do not share with those who are unsaved, the unsaved will never, ever hear the gospel. Those who are saved must share a gospel. A gospel. What is gospel? It's good news. Good news we are responsible for. We take opportunities, and we should be sharing the gospel. My question is to myself, as well as it is to you this morning, have we taken advantage of the opportunities that we have in discharging our responsibilities to share the gospel? You see, there's a lot of people who are going around. Well, let me rephrase that. There are some people who are going around who say that what they have to share with others, the unsaved, is the gospel, when it's not the gospel. We must have the gospel, a clear gospel. Might I encourage you and myself, we need to share a simple, understandable gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ came, led a sinless life, died a sacrificial death upon the cross for you and I and for the whole world. Christ's death on the cross was not just for the few who trust Him as Savior. Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Every sin, every, as people today like to phrase it because it's not so harsh, mistake, every mistake. It's a whole lot easier to spell sin than it is mistake, to write sin as it is a mistake. But the gospel is that Christ died for the sins of the whole world. He offers to those who trust Him, believe in Him, believe He came and died and paid for their sin, they trust His death to get them to heaven. God gives them a gift. It's a free gift. For by grace, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The message has to be clear. Salvation is not by works. It's by belief, by grace, through faith. It's belief. Otherwise, if we don't have that message as a clear gospel, those people who do not know Christ as their personal Savior, that we're sharing, quote-unquote, the message with, if we don't have a clear gospel, we just give the unsaved a heavenly way to go to hell. That's as straightforward as I can share with you this morning. Our gospel must be clear. In John chapter 3, verse 17, we read, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Paul also writes here in 2 Corinthians, as we read verse 11 of chapter 5, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." The terror of the Lord is being separated from Him forever and ever and ever in a place of torment that God has prepared for those who refuse to trust Him. The gift is there, the opportunity is there, the responsibility is there. It's our responsibility. How do we discharge that responsibility in 2024? What do we see when we look around us? We see a group of people who come, who listen, who fill a chair. It's always good to see you. It's always good to see chairs that are full, an auditorium that's full or being filled. That's always a thrill, not only to myself, but to others in our fellowship. But we have a responsibility more than coming and sitting in a chair and listening to a sermon and rushing out after the service and going home and getting in front of the TV and watching the Cowboys get beat. Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Our responsibility, our opportunity in 2024. Paul goes on to write, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." You see, everyone who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior have a responsibility. God, our Heavenly Father, has given us a charge with that message, the gospel, a clear gospel, not of works, not of good intentions, but of salvation as a free gift, by grace, through faith. Paul said, necessity is laid upon him. Woe is unto me. Paul knew, taught, wrote concerning the judgment seat of Christ, where we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior shall appear before Christ Himself, not in determination of where our destiny lies, but how we spent our time here on this earth. For those areas in which we've been faithful and discharged our responsibility, taking advantages of the opportunity that He gives us, we shall receive a reward. Those opportunities that we've not taken advantage of, we don't receive a reward. We who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior have a responsibility, and that responsibility is to share the gospel with other people. Paul goes on to write, as he writes to Timothy, young preacher boy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Good advice to a young man. Good advice to any believer. How do you see your 2024 as far as your opportunities and responsibilities to the Lord? You see, we read in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have a story to tell. We have an experience to explain. We have a message that the unsaved need to hear. Can I ask you a question this morning? In fact, I don't know whether I need to even ask. I'm going to ask it anyway. When was the last time you shared the gospel? There was a dear man that means a lot to me. When I was a young man and sort of just dog paddling to keep my head of water as far as what I felt like the Lord would have me do, this man was a great influence. In fact, he led my wife to the Lord back when, I won't say when, but led her to the Lord. He spent the night, many nights, as he would come through and speak in church, he would spend the night in our home. What fellowship we had. Interesting thing that he said to me was this, Mike, if you're ready for the opportunity, God will provide the individual. I said, Ray was his name. Others called him Doc. Some called him Dr. Stanford. Ray was a dear friend. And he would say, Mike, do you carry any helps with you? I would say, well, sometimes. Doc would say, I've come to see in my own life and experience in my own life that if I have something I can leave with somebody with me, God will provide that somebody who needs it. We might say, well, I don't ever have an opportunity. Well, do you have something with you? I would encourage you to. Our church spends a little bit of money to print these things up on the back. It's got church name, address, service times, telephone number, all of these. But if you have these with you, I'd almost guarantee put these in your pocket, you'll have an opportunity because you're prepared. God knows you're prepared when you have these with you. Put them in your purse. Ladies, you go shopping, stick them somewhere in the store. Eat at a restaurant, give to your waiter or your waitress. Ask if you can leave some at the counter. I don't know that I can rightly remember anybody ever saying no. Now, they may take them and throw them away. I don't know what that, you know, about that, whether they do it or not. But at least I've discharged my responsibility. Even better than that, when you share it with them, you might encourage them. I say, would you do me a favor? Most people are kind, at least here in the South, are kind. I say, sure. And I say, here, would you read this for me when you have time? I know you're busy, waitresses, waiters. I know you're busy, but will you read this for me? I'd appreciate it. Never had one say no. Especially if you're about to get up and leave and you've left them a nice tip. They always say yes. Whether they read them or not, I don't know. But if you have them, I know God will give you an opportunity. I know that by my experience. We have these church brochures. You can leave them wherever you're at. Funny thing with Dr. Stanford Ray. He lived across the street from a large grocery store. And he was approached by the store manager one day. And he knew Doc. He said, hey, Doc. He said, are you sticking tracts in our boxes of food on ourselves? Doc said, you want me to tell you the truth? He said, sure. He said, yes. He said, well, could you do it a little less suspiciously? Didn't tell him not to, just said be a little more careful in placing them in the boxes. If you have them, you'll have an opportunity. A church brochure has information, what we believe, plan of salvation, service times, all of these available. I don't think we've ever charged any of our folks to take them or anybody else who's here to take them and use them. We discharge our responsibilities as God gives us the opportunities as we are prepared for those opportunities. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We find elsewhere in the Word of God says, moreover, stewards are required to be faithful. We have been given the responsibility of the gospel. It's our responsibility. We're stewards of the gospel if we know Christ as our personal Savior. It's required that we be found faithful. God's church that He bled and died for, placed in that old cold tomb. 3 days later, coming out of that tomb, God's marvelous church He died for. has become culturally irrelevant and even distant from its prime purpose of knowing Him, growing in Him, and worshiping Him by making disciples, sharing the gospel. See people come to know Christ as their personal Savior. What's in your plans for 2024? We look around us. First off, we could profit from an Old Testament verse in Proverbs 27:23. Here it's talking about, let me just read it to you. This is evidenced of what's going on in our culture and in our church. We can take instruction from Proverbs 27, verse 23. This is speaking more of an agricultural nature, but it can be also applied to the church. Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. You see, that's what we gather for. We gather to worship, we gather to learn, we gather to profit by, we gather to be encouraged by the Scriptures. What's in your plan for 2024? This is a study, as I began thinking about this morning's message. This is something that we need to know. What is it in our church that encourage people to come back after they visit here one time? This time of study and contemplation started seeking out what happened and why the Bride of Christ is in decline. We labor, we have seen people come. We have seen people stay. We have seen people stay for a little while and go somewhere else. What is it that causes that? Most of the stats, as we read them, tell us that nearly 50% of Americans have no church home. That's sad. In the 1980s, membership in the church dropped almost 10%. Then in the 90s, it worsened by another 12% and has been continuing decline ever since. Some denominations are reporting a 40% decline or drop in their membership. We see today even more people are dropping out of church. They don't see the benefit. They don't see the application. They don't see the welcoming that people so crave. The United States Census Bureau, or Census Bureau's records, give us some startling stats. I'm going to try to share some with you in this morning's message. That every year, more than 4,000 churches close their doors, compared to just over 1,000 new church starts. There were about 4,500 new churches started between 1990 and 2000, with a 20-year average of nearly 1,000 a year. Every year, 2.7 million to 4 million people, church members, fall into inactivity. This translates into the realization that people are leaving the church faster than ever before. They've reported that they've left, and here's the reason they leave. They leave our church after being here one time. But they've reported that they leave as hurting and wounded victims of some kind of abuse, disillusionment, or just plain neglect, or ignoring by the church they visit. At the turn of the last century, there was a ratio of 27 churches per 10,000 people. Today, there's 11 churches per 10,000 people in America. What's happened? Where is the purpose of the local church being given out? Given the declining numbers and closures of churches as compared to new church starts, there should have been over 38,000 new churches commissioned to keep up with the population growth. Half of all churches in the U.S. did not add any new members to their ranks in the last 2 years. Statistics from Barna Research reported recently that perhaps 50% of people you're sitting down. I know you should be glad when you hear this. 50% of the people who go to a church are not even Christians. Never trusted Christ. The problem is that the church has lost its way. The problem is that the pastor does not give a clear, simple, by grace message of salvation. That's the problem. We've fallen off the trail or the path that God would have us walk. Share with you the top 12 reasons Christians don't share their faith. One is fear. Two is they don't feel or think that they are qualified. They want to keep their jobs. Complacency, lack of compassion and passion, spiritual laziness, too many worry about political correctness, influenced by worldly culture, a lack of training, don't know how to share, not strong Christians with strong faith. Few people believed what they said and believed in. They believed some false beliefs. They don't know the gospel clearly and rightly. They don't see the example from church leaders. When people visit our church, do we make them welcome? 15 reasons I want to share with you. Our churches are less evangelistic today. Christians have no sense of urgency to reach lost people. Many Christians and church members do not befriend and spend time with lost persons. Many Christians and church members are lazy and apathetic. We are more known for what we are against than what we are for. Our churches have an ineffective evangelistic strategy of you come rather than we go. Many church members think that evangelism is the role of the pastor and paid staff. Church membership today is more about getting my needs met rather than reaching the lost. Church members are in a retreat mode as culture becomes more worldly and unbiblical. Many church members don't really believe that Christ is the only way of salvation. Our churches are no longer houses of prayer equipped to reach the lost. Churches have lost their focus on making disciples who will thus be equipped and motivated to reach the lost. Christians do not want to share the truth of the gospel for fear they will offend others. Political correctness is too commonplace, even among Christians. Most churches have unregenerate members who have not received Christ themselves. Some churches have theological systems that do not encourage evangelism. Our churches have too many activities. They're too busy to do things that really matter. We read in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Read in Daniel chapter 12, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Paul writes, 2 Timothy 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, church today, church growth stats say that visitors in a church will decide in the first few minutes whether they will be coming back or not. The inference is that the visitor will be most impacted by how they are treated, how they're greeted, which will determine how they respond and connect to the rest of the church. Even if you have the best teaching and worship in the world, people will not stay where they don't feel welcome. First impressions are critical. If the church does not have a friendly atmosphere, then it will slowly die from its unkindness. Kindness is very important. It's a fruit of the Spirit that must manifest itself from the parking lot to the auditorium, to the restrooms, to the water fountain. Or else you will be sitting in a pew or a chair by yourself. These things we need to think about. Where do we go? How do we respond? How do we greet our visitors, those who take out of their life the time and effort to be with us in service? We have visitors today. We don't know. I don't know what all's going on in every person's life who do come to church. I don't know what's going on in the lives of those who visit from time to time, those visitors we have. But we ought to love on them. This world is a hurting world. This world has no concrete direction other than downward, unless we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior become their friend. The visitors we have this morning, thank you so much for coming. Church members, regular attendees, have you met them? Have you greeted them? Have you loved on them? By that I mean, just make them feel welcome. I trust so. You know, there's been many people who've been here and say that's the lovingest church that I've ever attended. Most of them have stayed. Most of those people have stayed. Others have been family members that have been here to visit. What do we have in mind concerning 2024? Let me encourage you. Two words. Be prepared. Be prepared. If you're prepared, I guarantee you you'll be given the opportunity. But if you're not prepared, you won't have the opportunity. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and we're so grateful that you love us with a love that we can't comprehend this side of heaven. Father, we thank you that we are your children, we who know Christ, and have trusted in him and what he's done for us to get us to heaven. We're your children. Father, you love us. You want the very best for us. You want us to be able to stand before you at the judgment seat of Christ and receive rewards. Father, because our lives have counted. Father, what an unpleasant thing it would be is to come into your presence and not have any rewards to give back to you. Father, we ask now that you'd give us your leadership, your divine leadership, your divine encouragement, your divine opportunities. We might discharge our divine responsibilities in reaching out to people in our community who need to know Christ as their Savior, or else, Father, just to help hurting believers, because we know there's many. Father, we thank you for this time together. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
And we'll bless the Lord.